This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life, of which each of us will forever be a complete and whole part. We're back with you just for a moment in this Course in Miracles. On the last episode, I'm a teacher of the Course. They call me a master teacher. Master means teacher. Somewhere I have been given the responsibility as a teacher of teachers, and I'm, to the best of my ability, intend to do it. What I'm trying to express to you is my own illumination of mind, the realization of the totality of myself, which is obviously can only be expressed through my determination to show you an alternative that I discovered within my own mind. But most certainly in this Course in Miracles, it's going to require that you discover it within yours. Is this not so? On the last video in the mind training, lesson 124, you looked at an involved capacity to begin to meditate to the certainty of an alternative that was available in you. Many of us call this prayer. Many of us are aware that our moments of happiness that we truly find are based on the releases of the defense of our conceptual need to justify the very limited willfulness of ourself, and admit very fundamentally that our dependence is on God. And our expression of certainty of what God is certainly not contained within the vocabulary of what your conceptual mind defines as the power of the solution to your problem. This little book, and will remind you once again all about God and how to find Him, reminds you very simply of the procedure that it's possible for you to employ within your own mind, not based on any doctrinal identity of yourself, okay, to bring you to know very simply that this world and the whole universe employ the power of a single source of reality. The practice that has become prevalent in the idea of this Course in Miracles is expressed again, once again, in the lesson that we're going to do today. It reminds you to continue to remind yourself of the alternative that you have discovered deep within you. In a particular sense, the teachings of my Savior, Jesus Christ, direct my mind to let the emergence of my Christhood occur within me without my need to employ conceptual associations with it. I believe you'll find in the biblical sense it says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. What it says was, this will emerge naturally in you each moment that you entertain the alternative. And in that sense, it is an evolution or progression within your own mind formulation that will delight you with the sheer power of your mind, first in the realization that what you were protecting has no value, and second in the realization as a perfectly created source of total reality, you cannot be separate from God. So let's listen and look together at what this lesson says about the continuation of the discovery of that alternative that you're now carrying about with you in this objective world. Listen. We're going to quiet down then for just a moment, and in quiet we'll receive God's word today, right now. Let this day be a day of stillness and of quiet listening. Your Father wills you hear His word today. He calls to you from deep within your mind where He abides. Hear Him today. No peace is possible until His word is heard around the world, until your mind, in quiet listening, accepts the message that the world must hear to usher in this quiet time of peace. Listen, this world will change through you. No other means can save it, for God's plan is simply this. The Son of God is free to save Himself, given the Word of God to be His guide, forever in His mind and at His side, to lead Him surely to His Father's house by His own will, forever free as God's. He is not led by force, but only love. He is not judged, but only sanctified. In stillness, we will hear God's voice today without intrusion of our petty thoughts, without our personal desires, and without all judgment of His holy word. We will not judge ourselves today, for what we are cannot be judged. Did you hear that? What you are cannot be judged. We stand apart from all the judgments which the world has laid upon the Son of God. It knows Him not. Today we will not listen to the world, but wait in silence for the Word of God. Hear, Holy Son of God, your Father speak. His voice would give to you His holy word to spread across the world the tidings of salvation and the holy time of peace. Listen, we gather at the throne of God today, the quiet place within the mind where He abides forever in the holiness that He created and will never leave. Listen, here is a description, if you need one, about God. He has not waited until you return your mind to Him to give His word to you. He has not hid Himself from you while you have wandered off a little while from Him. He does not cherish the illusions which you hold about yourself. Listen, He knows His Son and wills that He remain as part of Him, regardless of His dreams, regardless of His madness, that His will is not His own. He hasn't waited for you. Are you ready for that? Have you accepted the fundamental premise of my mind to yours, that God is in your mind? Where did you think God was? Doesn't it occur to you reasonably within your conceptual observation of yourself that if there is a total reality, you could not separate yourself from it? Your momentary determination to express yourself through fear, which would have to be fear of God, since there is only a total source of reality, has allowed you to picture within your own limitation the idea of this little place of separation within the dark form of the energy of light by which you envision the illusion of who you are. And it's simply not true. Okay? We're looking at you now, perhaps from the biblical quote from Jesus of the prodigal son. You are returning home, all right? And instead of looking at you as somehow separate from Him, God runs joyously out to meet you. All of this occurring within your own mind. All of this than in the admission of the sharing of the miracle of the conversion of your conceptual self was the entirety of the love that we share with God. Did you see that there? Excuse me. Did you see that within your own mind? I didn't mean to turn away from you at that moment, because the moment that we shared right there was the emergence of your own Christhood. You want me to teach you this for a minute? Say Christhood. Yeah, Christhood. You are evolving the self-certainty of who you really are. That it would be impossible that you did that without employing the power of universal mind that is a whole part of you and cannot not be contained within your religion of separation that lets you attempt to identify yourself objectively within the entirety of the creative source of all reality. Thank you for that. That was what we call in the Course a holy instant. It was the idea that through the practice of the Course, you are beginning to experience on a continuing basis a very bright alternative that is making you very happy. You are happy for what appears to be no reason whatsoever. The link that is inevitable in your search for happiness, okay, will always be available to you if you'll stop trying to define within your own concepts what happiness is. It is impossible that creative reality, the mind of God, is not what happiness is, just as it is what peace is, and joy is, and certainty is, and perfection is. That's what you are. And that's what you're experiencing in this practice of the realization of the entirety of you. I'm in your mind right now. Is that so? Perhaps you're still trying to search within your mind my identity as though somehow I could be separate from you. It's not true. The certainty of self that I am expressing to you is your certainty. The certainty of the singularity of self, as expressed by our Savior Jesus Christ, is very simply this. I will show you your wholeness through my wholeness if you will let me, because we can never be separate. I will stay with you. I will abide with you until this comes about. I will never leave you comfortless. I did not die. I saw a program last night about something that Jesus died. What an absurdity. The entire teaching is that he resurrected and is alive with you at this moment. Why you would persist in some sort of doctrine that death occurred, that somehow you would have to have a bodily experience of death in order to come to know who you are, is simply beyond any comprehension or reasonableness. If you would look at the fundamental teaching, which say very simply, if you believe me, you will never die. There's nowhere within the structure of reality where there is any indication of the possibility of annihilation. It just can't occur. There is no death. The Son of God is free. All of the concepts that you have held in regard to the sequentiality of your own mind are leaving you very simply because you don't want them anymore. A new value system is emerging within your constitution of apparent separate reality that is showing you on a continuing basis a value that will be so enhanced by the discovery of the happiness within you that you would never consider giving correspondence to this world. This is this teaching. This is the practice that I am offering you from my mind to yours. And it has no regard for our objective separate identities, very simply because our objective separate identities are totally meaningless. And we know it. But we also know that deep within us is a singularity of mind in which we cannot be separate. And in this moment of the practice of the forgiveness of our needs to separate ourselves in order to exist in fear, we have found the truth of what we are and are sharing it. Let's complete this meditative lesson together. Listen. Continuing about our Creator, today He speaks to you. His voice awaits your silence, for His word cannot be heard until your mind is quiet for a while and meaningless desires have been stilled. Await His word in quiet. There is peace within you to be called upon today to help make ready your most holy mind to hear the voice for its Creator speak. Three times today, at times most suitable for silence, give a full 10 minutes set apart from listening to the world and choose instead a gentle listening to the Word of God. He speaks from nearer than your heart to you. His voice is closer than your hand. His love is everything you are and that He is, the same as you and you the same as He. It is your voice to which you listen as He speaks to you. Could you hear that? I'm going to read it again to you. Listen. It is your voice to which you listen as He speaks to you. It is your word He speaks. It is the word of freedom and of peace, of unity, of will and purpose, with no separation nor division in the single mind of Father and of Son. In quiet, listen to yourself today and let Him tell you God has never left His Son and you have never left yourself. Only be quiet. You will need no rule but this to let your practicing today lift you above the thinking of the world and free your vision from the body's eyes. Only be still and listen. You will hear the word in which the will of God, the Son, joins in His Father's will at one with it, with no illusions interposed between the holy, indivisible, and true. As every hour passes by today, be still a moment and remind yourself you have a special purpose for this day in quiet to receive the Word of God. So say to yourself right now, let's practice together. In quiet, I receive God's Word today. What an incredible meditative technique. What an incredible discovery for those of you who wondered what A Course in Miracles is. Obviously, it's a course in prayer. We look at all the objective so-called meditators, are those who bow down to Mecca, or those who believe in a continuing conscious effort that within their conceptual minds they can find the solution to their problem by offering worship to God, by an idea that there is a power apparently outside of themselves that they can contact, all right, by a willingness to ask for the aid that they think that they need. The problem that you have had as a conceptual identity, if you'd like to share this with me, this comes from my certainty, is that within your prayers, you were never entirely certain about what to ask for. There's a strange connotation within the conceptual mind about the idea of whether you believe in God. And you might as well hear this from any mind that would care to listen and offer it. A totality of reality, of life, which is what you cannot not be, is totally unconcerned about whether you believe in it or not. The idea that you would be required to believe in a power outside yourself, okay, is the evidence that you are already employing through the idols of the necessity to identify and gratify yourself within your own apparent insufficiencies of conceptual mind. I hope that might be clear to you. In any particular sense, you gratify through a form of need. Okay, using the will of your conceptual mind, a belief that you will be happy by finding solutions within your own mind, and perhaps you do. I'm offering you the certainty of any reasonable mind that it would be impossible for you to maintain happiness, very simply because happiness is not a maintenance. That's why I said that the reality of God does not depend on your belief. That is not to say that we cannot employ the choice mechanism that you believe is necessary. There. Did you see what happened there? Yeah, we cleared out that for just a moment there, so I can express myself a little better. Thank you. Pardon me for that. Yeah. There. Are you ready? Go like this. All of you go. There. Yeah. Do you know why that might be important to you? Your voice is the voice of God. All the vibratory associations of your mind that express your vocabulary, the realization of the energies of thought form, are actually what God is. God is a word within your own mind. The lesson for today says nothing but all of the thoughts that you're having are godly and are sanctified in their entirety by your own self-realization. There isn't anything separate from you. Clear that out. For just a moment, you had that idea stuck within your thyroid, perhaps, or one of the centers of your constitutional reality that is undergoing an experience of illumination. It's nice to be heard occasionally in this teaching. Actually, all I ask you to do in this Course in Miracles is begin to practice the idea of an alternative that cannot not be contained within you. Your need to identify it in some sort of doctrinal, conceptual ideas about the world are totally meaningless. There is no such thing as this world. As I mentioned before, we're going to be getting to lesson 132 here very soon. I'm sure you're going to want to watch, because it says very simply that you're crazy. The lesson that we are just completing today says that you're mad. You're frantically searching within your own conceptual association for a solution to the identity that you have given yourself and the problem that cannot not be evident in your need to be separate from your own entirety. There's a sentence in chapter 13 where Jesus says, in the Course in the text, where he says, you've been driven mad by guilt. The idea of the retention of your conceptual self is crazy. So you organize solutions within this asylum, and you let your objective associations of conceptual form justify the craziness that you would not know who you are. The practice we are employing now is to show you there that contained within you is a real you. But most certainly it cannot be identified within your ego, within your conceptual association of yourself. Listen, this is true in a literal sense, because natural man, the human condition that believes that it is separate, has no availability of the power that is inherent in it, simply because each moment in time it identifies itself with the moment of separation. That is what the teaching of this miracle procedure is. It's an offering to you that at this moment in space-time is the entirety that ever could, will, or did occur in all of the so-called sequentiality of time. It's a determination that you realize you have formulated a structure of memory. Let's use DNA for a minute, since they're mapping it successfully. They're using molecular identities of protein or carbon that contain the essence of life, okay, with the particulars identified in a process of retaining a form of matter, okay, separate from the entirety of life. I'm not sure how clear that would be to you, but I want to assure you of this. I'm not concerned about how you identify yourself within your body mode, but it might be important for you to realize that it's not what life is. I'm with your own, within your own constitution of body identity, telling you that this is not life. The meditation of the discovery that you are in fact whole and perfect as God created you is an illuminate factor that's now occurring within your own mind. That was a healing there, wasn't it? Suddenly, in the feeling of the wholeness of your own mind, you underwent, what was the lesson? A transfiguration of the form of your body identity. In our mind training, we call that resurrection. We say with certainty that your body is under a continuing resurrection action within the idea of space-time. And we're going to complete that lesson with that idea. The teaching of this Course in Miracles is through the power of your mind, you contain the totality of what you are in eternal life and can make application of it within the illusion of what you identify as form. And at any single moment, you can see that you are whole and perfect as you were created. That's the power of my mind as a healer through this Course in Miracles that I'm offering you at this moment. I'm glad you've accepted it, because it's impossible for you to suffer from the disease, because it's impossible that you be that body. If you are not that body, it's easy for you to remember how perfect you are in our relationship. This is my offering to you, the certainty of the power of your mind to realize at this moment that this dream of death is over and that you are home in heaven, where you came from and where you returned in the instant of the idea of your separation. This world was over a long time ago. That's the discovery I'm offering you within your own dream. I hope we see you again soon. Remember, God goes with us wherever we go. God is the mind with which we think. God bless us, everyone. This is a Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life, of which each of us will forever be a complete and whole part. Welcome to another session of mind training in this Course in Miracles. The reports of the progress that you're making in the meditative technique of a new realization of who you are coming about now in a great number. More and more of you in this little world are discovering that this message from out of time, from a whole mind, offering you a complete solution to the problem that besets you in regard to your need to occupy this little space and time and believe that this is life, have actually been solved for you. The idea that the problem of your separation from a totality, from a singularity, could remain is impossible in the fundamental examination of it. Somewhere you're able to see this with me, I hope, since I'm offering you the entire solution within your conceptual possibility. If you can identify yourself as separate, which you do in your consciousness association, it is impossible that you cannot see yourself as whole, because in a form of time, you see yourself as whole in each reference you give yourself in order to retain a space-time separation. Okay, the conceptual mind, in a particular sense, although it associates with its own termination in time, cannot really express what death is except in its own temporal association. One of the great lessons in this Course in Miracles that you will be practicing is our express certainty that this is what death is. Okay. The idea of longevity within that conceptual mind that contains the inevitability of your own annihilation is actually an expression of death. And this will be, I believe it's lesson 163, that says very simply, there is no death, the Son of God is free. A necessary part of the change of your own mind about who you are cannot not involve the declaration that I am about to give you. Somewhere within your objective association, you actually believe that there has been a division in correspondence that allows an entity of formulation of mind to be separate from you. This is actually a definition of the consciousness of a human being. Somehow you believe that each of us is his own body occupation, and that somewhere within that body he retains, or you retain as you look at me, a separate identity from me. For what purpose, I have no idea, except that within your constitution of separation of a body, you believe it's necessary to subsist separate. And while you're willing to share some correspondence with me in our apparent dependency on an alternative separate from a single reality, the truth is that you depend on death. So the idea of exchange, and this is very fundamental in the teachings of Jesus, it's very fundamental in the lesson we're going to attempt to do today. It's very fundamental in the Testament of Sermon on the Mount. It says very simply that in reality you can only give to yourself, and that when you find blame in your enemy, you're actually blaming yourself. And as you met unto him, you will be measured. It says in a literal sense that what you give will determine what you think you are. And if you believe that you are separate from something else, you will retain a part of you within your own mind and attempt to share that partiality of the limitation you impose on yourself in order to be separate from him. It doesn't make any sense. It's senseless in that it's temporal. It's senseless in that it involves your admission of a lack, of a need to accumulate, of a need to express yourself within a form where you can use up within your mind the idea of energy the idea of molecular association of form that allows you to subsist as a body. They're not true. Let's get to the lesson, shall we? They're not true. The very simple truth of the matter is, you can only give to yourself. And the more you can recognize that your creating source only gives, the more happy you will be in discovering that as you give, your supply will be increased. This is the science of the mind that teaches the more that you give, the more that you'll have. It's very fundamental, the teaching, and it's accepted by most conceptual minds somewhere. But the idea that you could vacate your mind in its entirety of your determination to literally give everything away is the entire teachings of my Savior Jesus. He says, give yourself away and let's get the hell out of here. He didn't say that. He says that somewhere. Let's get the hell out of here. You're in hell. Give it away. Stop depending on the separation that you're expressing, and you can understand immediately that we're back in heaven. Let's try the lesson, should we? Everything I give, I only give to myself. Listen. Today's idea, completely alien to the ego and the thinking of the world, is crucial to the thought reversal that this course will bring about. If you believe this statement, there would be no problem in complete forgiveness, a certainty of goal, and sure direction. You would understand the means by which salvation comes to you and would not hesitate to use it now. Let's take a look at it. Let's consider what you do believe in place of this idea. It seems to you that other people are apart from you and able to behave in ways which have no bearing on your thoughts nor yours on theirs. Therefore, your attitudes have no effect on them and their appeals for help are not in any way related to your own. You further think that they can sin without affecting your perception of yourself, while you can judge their sin and yet remain apart from condemnation and at peace. Listen, when you forgive a sin, there is no gain to you directly. You give charity to one unworthy merely to point out that you are better on a higher plane than he whom you forgive. He has not earned your charitable tolerance which you bestow on one unworthy of the gift, because his sins have lowered him beneath the true equality with you. He has no claim on your forgiveness. It holds out a gift to him, but hardly to yourself. Thus is forgiveness basically unsound, a charitable whim, benevolent yet undeserved, a gift bestowed at times, at other times withheld. Unmerited, withholding it is just, nor is it fair that you should suffer when it is withheld. The sin that you forgive is not your own. Someone apart from you committed it. And if you then are gracious unto him by giving him what he does not deserve, the gift is no more yours than was his sin. Listen, if this be true, forgiveness has no grounds on which to rest dependably and sure. It is an eccentricity in which you sometimes choose to give indulgently an undeserved reprieve. Yet it remains your right to let the sinner not escape the justified repayment for his sin. Think you the Lord of heaven would allow the world's salvation to rest on this? Would not his care for you be small indeed if your salvation rested on a whim? Listen, you do not understand forgiveness. As you see it, it is but a check upon overt attack without requiring correction in your mind. It cannot give you peace as you perceive it. It is not a means for your release from what you see in someone other than yourself. It has no power to restore your unity with you to your awareness. It is not what God intended it to be for you. What a particular idea that's expressing concerning your conceptual idea of forgiveness. Are you ready to hear this? There is only one mind, and that you share with God. When you are apparently in sin or separation, you obviously can't stand the guilt of your own fear of your own self-identity, so you project it from you and literally divide your own conceptual ideas about yourself into fragments that you can justify your need for existence in association with each other and still remain in fear. I watch your procedures as human beings and the practice you employ in the idea of forgiveness as though something could actually cause you pain. It's the same idea you have about the necessity to be healed. It's the idea that sickness could be real, that somehow you could actually be separate from the entirety of the love that we share with God. So, he's guilty, you're guilty, let's share the guilt together. I may be more or less guilty than he is, but I cannot share my guilt in its entirety, whatever I have formulated in my own mind, since I believe that there is a mind separate from me that can share the idea of duality within my own mind. This is the fundamental procedure of the correspondence of the species that brings about jurisprudence. It's the idea that it's possible for us to establish justice, moral values, within a frame of consciousness in which we retain a separation from ourselves. It's the fundamental idea that a consciousness that constitutes its own reality is responsible for that reality, just as the idea of another human being outside of his body-mind would be responsible for his. That can be assumed in the practicability of the necessity to establish civilization, since the idea of separation from each other cannot not be a form of conflict in which we exist separate from our apparent body identities. I don't know how much value this will have to you. What I'm offering you is the certainty that in the procedure of the idea of finding justice in temporal identity, you cannot not receive the result of your existent association as separate, which is what annihilation is. Shall I try a couple of sentences with you in this train? There's no such thing as a past. The historic references that you have given yourself in your consciousness association of history are in a literal sense an invention of a form association separate from what life is. You now live within that contingency and actually believe that there are separate minds outside of yourself. The offering that I am giving you from my whole mind, which is your whole mind. I'm going to try that once more for you. The offering that I am giving you in the interruption of your determination of exchange, in your determination to express yourself separate in a body from that body, is my certainty that that formulation that appears to be separate from you is actually an aggregation of your own thought form and is in reality not separate from you. The body that you identify out there is actually this body. It can vary in its particulars and even in its memory of apparent separation, but it will be contained within an entirety of a species of a single realization of a direct connection to eternal life. My goodness sake. The combination there of a little Old Testament. Let's continue with this idea because I think you're hearing it. You must accept responsibility for yourself so that you can see that in a literal sense, when you give to the projection, which you literally are identifying as needful, you are actually giving to your own need. This is the entire teachings of Jesus. He says, give it to the little ones, give it away. Given in the surety of what you will become. This lesson that you can only give to yourself may be taking on a new value to you. Let's complete it together. Let's look at your attempt at exchange. Not having given him the gift he asks of you, you cannot recognize his gifts and think he has not given them to you. Yet would he ask you for a gift unless it was for you? Could he be satisfied with empty gestures and evaluate such petty gifts as worthy of his son? We're speaking of God here. Salvation is a better gift than this. And true forgiveness, as the means by which it is attained, must heal the mind that gives. For, are you listening? Giving is receiving. What remains as unreceived has not been given, but what has been given must have been received. Today we try to understand the truth that giver and receiver are the same. You will need help to make this meaningful because it's so alien to the thoughts to which you are accustomed. But the help you need is there. Give him your faith today and ask him that he share your practicing in truth today. And if you only catch a tiny glimpse of the release that lies in the idea we practice for today, this is a day of glory for the world. Listen, in silence, close your eyes upon the world that does not understand forgiveness and seek sanctuary in the quiet place where thoughts are changed and false beliefs laid by. Repeat today's idea and ask for help in understanding what it really means. Be willing to be taught. Be glad to hear the voice of truth and healing speak to you, and you will understand the words he speaks and recognize he speaks your words to you. As often as you can, remind yourself you have a goal today, an aim which makes this day of special value to yourself and all your brothers. Do not let your mind forget this goal for long, but tell yourself, all that I give is given to myself. Once more, all that I give is given to myself. The help I need to learn that this is true is with me now, and I will trust in him. Then spend a quiet moment opening your mind to his correction and his love. And what you hear of him, you will believe, for what he gives will be received by you. We're going to talk just a little bit about this now, if we can. The idea that to give and receive are the same. The idea that reasonably you can only give to yourself if there is only one reality. No. From a singularity idea standpoint, it seems easy. If there is only one source of reality, it's impossible that you're not a whole part of it. Obviously, in your conceptual identity of yourself, you believe that you are separate. What may surprise you about this teaching, and I'm going to talk to you about it for a moment, is that in a very fundamental sense, you as a human being understand the relationship of giving and receiving. Never mind the admonition that it's better to give than receive. There is no possibility, if you feel the joy of receiving, that you will not want to express it as a moment of giving. This is a procedure by which separate conceptual associations identify themselves. The structure of the human idea of body form is based on exchange, on the idea that if I give to you, you will appreciate me more than you previously did. Now, this involves the idea that I feel within myself the joy of the totality of my appreciation based on a very fundamental discovery of the joy of giving. The difficulty you have with this lesson is that since you have limited yourself to a form of the value of your consciousness conceptual association, you actually believe that if you give something away, you'll lose it. you believe that if you give something to someone else, you will have less and he will have more. Well, that's not true. You cannot come to know that until you begin to experience the joy that occurs in your non-necessity to accumulate potential. My goodness sake, I'm just describing to you what every human condition finds in the freedom of its own mind, not to have to be occupied with the retention of his potential. He discovers to his happy surprise that his dependence on the reality of the power of God eliminates his necessity to identify his giving and taking, his offering of receiving, his offering of the sharing of gifts is not involved with what he thinks his potential is. What a surprise that is. The idea of potential, of symbolization of the your mind, is a part of a subsistence that you employ to maintain the body. In a particular sense, you cannot not believe that if you give everything away, you will be dead. Can you hear that? You will lose your existent capacity. Obviously, that would be true because your conceptual mind depends on the value of the retention of the necessity to defend yourself. This actually doesn't go anywhere. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Civilization of man is based on a consciousness identity of a single source, whether you want that to be true or not. The idea of exchange that's going on in this world is doing nothing but allowing for a continuing subsistence that hopefully will express some sort of joy and happiness and release from pain that is connected to the idea of your body. Here I am within the vision of the certainty of our correspondence with each other within this historic memory of being human beings, telling you that it's not true. I'm telling you that your procedure to identify yourself separately from the entirety of universal mind has held you in the idea of a cultural response that requires exchange. So that the idea that you would give or share is a sure indication that you believe that something is missing in you. And somewhere you believe that through accumulating the fracturedism of your conceptual thought forms, you want to call that your DNA, that's okay with me, that you will be able somehow to identify yourself as an entirety. If you look at that reasonably with me, that would become ridiculous in the idea. Look at it. The idea that you would assemble separate forms about yourself in a relationship to what you think your body is the manner and procedure on which you operate in the belief that you are body parts. You actually believe that you can accumulate thoughts about yourself in relationships with space and time that are somehow going to justify a wholeness, as though you're going to assemble enough parts within your own mind to gratify you until the inevitability of your termination, of your falling apart. Because the idea of life to you is the idea of the necessity to hold yourself together. And while you're very willing to give away some of the thoughts about yourself within your own mind, the idea of this fundamental teaching that you would simply give everything away and immediately recognize that the definition that you had given yourself in time was literally what annihilation is. Remember this lesson? Death is an idea that takes many forms, and certainly one of the most valuable ones is the necessity for you to exist on the mammon of the associations of form that justify the existence of your body. This is directly from my Savior Jesus. He expresses to you the certainty that he discovered in his own mind, through the grace of God, a certainty of who he was, not in an exchange mode that represented his pain and loneliness and death and isolation, but in a certainty that contained within him, as revealed by the Holy Spirit, in God saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," was the certainty of self that now constitutes what I am offering to you. Are you ready for this? The more that I am willing to give to you, the more I can discover in my own mind my own wholeness. This is the science that the energy of love is contained within the action of my giving. I need not know who I am in order to give, because that will limit me to the extreme application of limitation I believe that I am. You listen to me, you ego who's looking at me. You're much more than you believe that you were, but you're going to have to give that idea away in order to come to know that giving and receiving are the same. That's the joy of the power of my mind I'm offering you now. I'm going to give you everything that I am or ever could be. Your acceptance of it will show you immediately that you are a giver rather than a receiver. And the joy of your entirety of reception will open a channel for you to the realization of the power of eternal life. Thank you for listening to this lesson in this Course in Miracles that says to give and receive are the same. It's an instant of the entirety of accumulation of ideas that are now being utilized to return you to heaven, to show you that you're not actually separate in time. I hope we see you again soon. We love you with the certainty that in your acceptance of our love, you can discover who you really are. And in that sharing will be the realization of our love for each other in God. Thou wilt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. God bless us, everyone.